1 Kings chapter 19. Have you ever heard the voice of God? Has He ever spoken to you in an audible voice? I'm not going to criticize you if you say that you have. I wish that I could say that I have. Some people say that they have. I don't know if they have or they haven't. But I suspect tonight that for the most part, we normally have a little bit of a struggle to hear His voice, to know for sure whose voice it is. Is that probably where most of us are at? We want to know that it's His voice. We want to hear Him. But how do we know if it's His voice or not? It's a very important question to answer, especially in the time of decision. Let's look here in the 19th chapter at a man who heard the voice of God speak. And see if we can get anything out of it tonight to help us to know when God speaks to us. 1 Kings chapter 19. Lauren said after leading the singing last week that, is it always this hot up here? I think it's 10 degrees hotter just as soon as you get in front of people. It may not be in reality, but just the thing of being in front of people. 1 Kings 19. If you would, let's stand together as we read here a few verses. Change your position a little bit. Verse number 8, I'm going to begin reading of 1 Kings 19. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for being so good to us this evening by allowing the presence of the Holy Spirit to already be among us. Father, we want to hear your voice further in this service tonight, and I pray that you would teach us from your word this evening. Give us the help and anointing that we so desperately need as speaker, and Father, give us the help and the anointing that we so desperately need as listener, that we might hear your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The background of this passage is a very interesting passage. It's a very exciting story. Elijah was a great man of God. Not only had he heard God's voice here, but he apparently had heard God's voice many times before. It was just commonplace to him, it seems. He was a tremendous prophet, having come from where he came from, and the revival atmosphere, if you will, of what had just taken place. The powerful move of God that had taken place on Mount Carmel. He had been emotionally on a high, spiritually on a high. Seeing God send down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, to consume all the water that was around his sacrifice and his altar, and the prophets of Baal having to stand there with empty hands and cuts all over their bodies with nothing more to show for their sacrifice. Now it seems in my imaginative mind that in verse number 1 of 19 that Ahab was on Elijah's side at this point. He was excited about what had taken place. You might be able to read into that verse that he was against Ahab, but I don't know, or against Elijah. I don't know if he was or not, but I can see a little bit of excitement in that verse. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And man, Elijah was just a great man of God here, and we really have been messing up and not serving God. And Jezebel sat there and said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to see that he dies. That's about what it is. Let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. You've got 24 hours to live, Elijah. Man, Elijah come off of that mountaintop experience and crashed into the bottoms. He ran for his life just because Jezebel threatened him. He told God, he said, I'm the only one left. Why should I live? Why don't you take me? Get me out of here. Take me out of this miserable life. And so he lay down to sleep, and an angel awakened him, gave him something to eat, something to drink, and he fell asleep again. And the angel came and awoke him one more time and gave him some more to eat and drink. And then he went on a 40-day fast. It's incredible. But what I want to look at here is the hearing of God's voice, though. Elijah was way up here, Elijah's way down here. You've probably experienced that. It's easy to feel God's presence when we're way up on the top of the mountain, but when we're down at the bottom in the valley, the weeds are growing up past our head. We can't see very far in front of us. We can't feel too much but pricklies, briars, cockleburrs sticking to us. We feel like we're all alone. Where's God at in the midst of that time? Well, Elijah goes to a cave of all places. He goes to a cave on the Mount Horeb, and it's called here in verse number 8, the Mount of God. And God is revealing to him that there are three different things that he can look to and try to find out if it's God's voice or not. We see that there's a great wind. It breaks the rocks. It rent the mountains. It's quite a wind. And then there's an earthquake. And then there's a fire. These things are tremendous movings. They're tremendous happenings that are taking place right around Elijah. You know, sometimes we get to thinking that God might speak to us in the midst of the chaos of our lives, or the noise of our lives. But God may not be speaking to us the way that we think He's speaking to us in the midst of all of that noise. And I need to be real careful with examples and illustrations on this point this evening, but I know an individual that was doing something that I felt was wrong, and I was praying that God would go another direction, or that God would help this person go another direction, and so an automobile accident took place. And on my side, I'm thinking, well, God's trying to get a hold of this person, trying to waken them up, and on the other side, the insurance check came through and helped foot the bill for what they were planning on doing. So who was speaking in that accident? How was God speaking? Maybe it was God speaking, but how was He speaking? Was He speaking, go ahead, or was He speaking, slow down? Know another individual, another family, a couple that went out west for vacation. And they were Christian people, holiness people, and for some reason in their mind and in their plans, they set aside a certain number of dollars to play the slot machines. And they won a good bit of money. And they came back and had the audacity to stand up in church the next Sunday and praise God for the money that they won. Now, was God speaking to them in the midst of that? I take from your chuckles that you would have questions about that. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, He said, "My sheep hear My voice." We back up to verse number 4, it tells us, "And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." We may have a lot of questions about whether or not it's God's voice calling to us, but there is one line of demarcation, there's one line of differentiation that we can make as to whether or not it's God calling. You say, "Well, what would that be, Brother Ziegler?" Well, we can guarantee ourselves that God will never call us to unholiness. Or the things that are unholy. That's plain and that's pretty simple. That's not profound, is it? And the other side of that is that we can guarantee ourselves that Satan will never call us to holiness. God will never call us to uncleanness or the things that are unholy. Satan will never call us to the clean and the holy. Now, Satan might call you to be completely dressed up with standards on the outside. You say, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. What are you talking about?" Satan might call you to standards on the outside. If that's all it is that you have. He doesn't care how he gets a person. God calls us to holiness. Holiness of heart. God calls us to a life and a living of cleanness and righteousness. You might ask the question then at this point, how can I learn to know His voice? If it's so hard to understand and to recognize His voice in the chaos of life or in the noise of life, then how can I learn to know His voice? Well, perhaps in verse 8 there is a key to understanding that. Well, we see that He arose. That doesn't tell us too much. He ate and He drank. Well, that's a good thing to do. Oh, there it is. He fasted 40 days. Preacher, that's what the key is to knowing and understanding God's voice, isn't it? No, it's not. You say, then, well, what is it then? Do we have to go to Horeb? No. The key here is that He went to Horeb, the Mount of God. You say, well, what's so significant about that? The significant part is that if we want to learn God's voice, we want to understand when God speaks this, that it's Him speaking, then we're going to have to go to where He's at. We're going to have to put ourselves the best we can in the place that is the easiest for us to hear His voice. Say, wait a minute. Well, first of all, I must be on His side. I've heard so many people testify, and it's all right. I'm not. If you've said this, don't think I'm being critical of what you've said, that they're glad that God's on their side. I understand what you're saying, but really it's us being on God's side. The second aspect of going to where God is, we must hunger for His presence. You remember the woman that went to the tomb when Jesus was buried? And she was really messed up emotionally because somebody had moved the Savior's body. Why was it that Jesus is the one that came by at that moment and spoke to her and called her by name? Why was that? I honestly believe that it was because Mary hungered for Him. There was something down inside the heart of Mary that was longing to take care and do the process that was necessary over the body and the burial, all of that. And in the midst of her hunger to prepare that and to be proper in that sense, Jesus was looking through that and saw the hunger of her heart to say to Him, I want to do what I can for you. And I believe it's the same thing for us today. If we hunger, really hunger and long to be in God's presence, long to be close to Him, that He will come. And then thirdly, not only must we be on His side and hunger for His presence, but we have to learn His ways, learn His principles. We have to become like Him. He went unto Horeb, the Mount of God. If I might divert here just a little bit, and yet it's not really a diversion, it's just something that sometimes we don't like to hear. You know, that's really why the doors are open here at the church two times on Sunday and once on Wednesday and you know, all through revival. Camp meetings. That's the purpose that we have all of these services. It's to give us an opportunity to get closer to God. We must go to where He is. But let me look at it just a little bit further here into the realities of our own lives. Going to the Mount of God was not a guarantee to hear His voice. You say, what do you mean? You just said that that's why we need to go to church. You mean to tell me that if we go to church that that's still no guarantee that we're going to hear His voice? Well, how many times have you had trouble already tonight to keep your mind focused upon worship? There's distractions all around. Justifiable distractions. You know, we can turn our cell phones off and eliminate that distraction. But there's a lot of distractions that we cannot eliminate, and we really don't want to eliminate the little baby that's crying here. Don't feel bad, please. Mom and Dad, sometimes it's harder on them than it is on any of the rest of us. I believe that that's exactly what it was with Elijah. He went to the cave mouth. He went out to the opening, just like God said, and God sent the wind. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 tells us a little bit about the winds that we may have to face. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The winds are blowing all around us. But His voice wasn't in the wind, was it? How about the earthquake? The noise of our daily lives. The activities of our daily lives. All of the things that are a part of our daily monotonous life. You get up, go to work in the morning. You take your break when you take your breaks. You eat your lunch. You go home. You mow the grass. You wash the car. Many of you, you feed the horses. ride the motorcycle, the four-wheeler. You do all the same stuff over and over and over again. Deer season's coming. It's just around the corner. Man, some of us are really excited about that. There's no monotony in deer season. It's getting ready to cool down here before long, and there'll be some more fish biting. You know, there's a lot of things that can be noise in the midst of our lives. I like to make it a habit to take a Bible with me to the deer stand, to the tree stand. Kind of funny, I suppose, if you were walking by and you see me hanging on the side of that tree about 30, 35 feet up there and I've got a Bible in my hand. That's kind of crazy. But all these things, though they're good things and they're okay things, but they can be noise in our lives to distract us from hearing God's voice. What about the fire? It's not hard to explain. The fire could be the losses or the turmoil or the stress. I know I'm talking to people tonight that don't have any stress. But what about His voice in the midst of all of that? No, the voice of God comes to us the best when we are quiet before Him and push out all of the noise around us and all of the chaos around us. The Bible tells us that when we go into our secret closet and close the door, what is that? What's He talking about? You've heard it many times. It's pushing aside all of the things that would distract us. The things that we should have gotten done, we didn't get to them. The things that we yet have to get done, we have to get that started, we have to get that finished, we have that place to go, that person to see, and all of these things just mount up and they eat away at our attention span to where we don't have time to hear the voice of God. Nor should we look for Him necessarily in the midst of all of that. But we look for His voice. We hear His voice where He is. For Elijah, it was going to Horeb, the Mount of God. For us, what could it be? Yes, it's coming to church. That's part of it. But what is the key? What is the main element? Where is it that you and I can find the reality of God's voice speaking to us, knowing that it's God? If we need to go where He is, where is that? Where do we find God invariably, without hesitation? It's right there in His Word. Now, someone may put their hand up and say, wait a minute now, the devil uses God's Word. That's why we need to stay in it to know that He's saying it right. To know that He's using it right. There's a lot of verses in here that we can take out of context and prove anything that we want to prove. That's why we need to stay in God's Word to know who it is that's speaking to us. Have you heard God's voice? Have you heard Him speak to you audibly? Have you ever heard Him speak to you through His Word? Where you've opened up His pages and said, oh, there's the voice of God in the stillness and the quiet time of being alone in His presence. I believe that that's what Elijah found out there in the midst after all the noise was gone. The still small voice of God. Close the door, shut out the noise, and enter into His presence with His Word. Let's stand together tonight.